8:07, just a beautiful start on this Thursday in central Wisconsin. The sun is shining, temperature of 62 degrees at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. This is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 at 12:30. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on the program between now and 10 a.m. in just a few minutes at 8:15, we'll be talking to Up North News host Pat Crailo. Pat just finished up his show. He's down in Madison today, but each Thursday he sticks around and joins me starting at 8:15. We'll be talking about the governor's call for a special session on child care and more and other issues in the news right now. And I wanted to also talk about, you know, we usually focus in Wisconsin, but there was an interesting election earlier in the week in Ohio as voters in Ohio were asked to change the rules in terms of constitutional amendments. Instead of a majority vote, some folks on the right, and I think allies for the ban of abortion, wanted to change it where 60% of voters would have to vote for a constitutional amendment for it to change the state constitution. And overwhelmingly, the voters of Ohio said, no, we're not going to do that. And Ohio has become a very red state in recent elections. And another example, again, maybe of some overreach, those on the right. I want to get the thoughts of Pat Crailo on that. And again, other issues as well. Pat Crailo coming up at 8:15 this morning on the program. And then at 9:30, we'll be talking to Civic Media Sports Director Mike Clemens from Cincinnati. The Packers are getting set for their preseason opener versus the Bengals tomorrow night. They had joint practice sessions yesterday. They will do it again today. And we just heard in Mike's sports report, again, he mentioned he is in Cincinnati, brought us the sports from Ohio. And there was a brawl in practice yesterday, and Mike was there. We're going to get all the details on that. What has he seen with the Pack so far in training camp? What is he going to look for tomorrow night in that season, a preseason opener against the Bengals? So Mike Clemens will be with us from Cincinnati coming up at 9:30 this morning here on the program. As I said, just a gorgeous start here. As we get to, we're in double digits now in the month of August. As this summer just goes right on by. When we're talking Packers, I'm talking some high school football. We're going to continue to preview some of our area high school football teams today as well. A reminder that coming up next Wednesday, it's the season premiere of the big high school sports show right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Starting next Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m., each and every Wednesday night, we'll talk nothing but high school sports during the fall sports season. We focus on football. During the winter sports season, we talk a lot about basketball, girls and boys, and hockey as well. But starting next Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m., the big high school sports show right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. But we're talking football. We're talking high school Packers. Badgers training camp is underway as well. It feels like our summer is slipping away. But today, it might be just the perfect summer day. We're going to see a lot of sunshine. We're going to see temperatures in the mid, maybe upper 70s. Any outdoor activities you have, today's the day. Looks like we have some rain in the forecast tomorrow. Coming up at 9:06, we'll have our daily visit from Weatherology by meteorologist Jennifer Vuchiski. Talk about the short-term forecast and also look ahead to the weekend if you have any weekend outdoor activities planned as well. So Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06. So we're going to take a quick time out and then come back and talk again to Pat Kreitlow. Talk about the news of the day around Wisconsin and a little bit outside Wisconsin as well. That's coming up next. Glad you could join me each and every weekday from 8 until 10 a.m., the Chad Holmes Show, right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course on the Civic Media app. And reminding you, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, what are you waiting for? It had been recently updated. You got all the Civic Media radio stations on there. We got Bow Falls Radio, of course, real simple. Just click on Bow Falls Radio, be able to listen anywhere you may be. Plus, we do also have those Sports 2 and Sports 3 streams on there. So easy on those Friday nights when we have West, Newman, and Marathon High School football to be able to flip back and forth to all three of our games. Again, season starting a week from tomorrow. Dreamer, if you're somebody that dreams, hey, why can't we have more than 2 hours of Pat Kreitlow in the morning? Well, your dreams are true on Thursdays because Pat's always nice enough to stick around and spend a few minutes with us here on this program. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News each weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. here on Bow Falls Radio and the Civic Media app and the network, joining us again this morning. And Pat, good morning.
Oh, bless your little pea-picking heart, as Tennessee Ernie Ford used to say. How are you?
Doing good. I know you're in Madison, and you were saying to me during the break that you had a chance to see the crew this week. I think that was the extra inning loss, if I'm not mistaken. Was that the night you were over there?
Yes, that was the 10th inning loss as opposed to yesterday's 10th inning win. Not that I saw it. I bailed out after 6 innings, you know, because that 4 a.m. alarm hurts even more if you stick around for extra innings.
I was going to ask you if you're one of those folks that stay to the end, because I knew that you have to wake up early, but there must be a little bit of pain when you know that, yeah, I do have to get up. I do have to be on top of my game when I get on the radio the next day. But at the same time, at least for me, it's like I have this almost moral obligation to stick to the bitter end no matter how yes. long it may be. I imagine when you...
I do try to stay. I do try to stay if I don't have an early alarm, because I recall in my younger days growing up in St. Paul, and I had a grandma who would take me to the old Metropolitan Stadium to see Twins games. But we always took, city buses to get there. And so we'd always leave just a little bit early so that we didn't have to stand on the bus, so we could have a seat. But there were a couple of times when we'd be in our bus seats and listening to the ninth inning on the radio, and we'd hear something exciting on the radio and hear the roar of the crowd, you know, just feet away. And ever since then, I've tried to stay to the end as long as possible, because you don't leave a movie before the end. Why would you do it with a sports event?
That reminds me. I don't know which game it was, some playoff or World Series game years and years ago, hearing the story about people that had left, and then all of a sudden something happened, and they were trying to get back in. They weren't allowed to be back in because they had left.
No.
And that's the way it should be. But one of the big stories that I know you've been talking about the last few days, and even this morning on your program, is the call from the governor to have a special session on child care issues and other issues as well. I think it's, you know, a rather broad-based plan for this special session that he's called for. And, you know, obviously we have a record in this state of Governor Evers having a hard time getting any respect for his calls for special sessions from Robin Voss and Devin Lemahue. But something I kind of mentioned to you beforehand, and I think you may have mentioned it a couple of days ago, is the fact that, you know, even if the Republicans don't come into session for any length of time, or whether or not they are able to pass anything, it's important to talk about these issues. I think to educate the voters and the citizens of Wisconsin. Something I said to you off the air is Democrats don't seem to do that as well as Republicans. Republicans can take the littlest issue that probably has very little to do with the everyday life of Americans, but pound on it every single day with the use of their media, and it all of a sudden gets into the bloodstream of Americans. So even if the governor does not get everything he wants out of a special session, it is important to keep these issues on the forefront, isn't it?
Very much so. And who knows? Maybe the 13th time is the charm when it comes to special sessions, because Republicans have all but ignored the first 12 that Governor Evers called. But, you know, this could be the lucky one. I mean, it almost certainly won't be. But I do look at these as an invitation from the governor to Republican legislators to, you know, do their job and maybe work. And look, if you do it in a way that gets a win-win, then both parties have something to crow about. But as you said, Democrats have never done a great job. Their self-promotional department is meager at best. And I think they should take a little advice here, because they've started to do something right, turning something around in a case of political jujitsu, and I'd like to see them do it again. The first example is the term Bidenomics. Now, they knew Republicans were going to use that as a pejorative and say, oh, Bidenomics is hurting Americans. Well, the economy is actually doing quite nicely, thank you. There's a lot of room for improvement, but compared to what, you know, Trump had done to the economy, there's a reason to make Bidenomics a positive label. And so they've embrace that. They've leaned into it. Where they got to go next is turning around those dorky-looking stickers that people used to put on gas pumps of President Biden pointing, and below that it said, I did that. Now, you could have a very high-minded, official-looking sign at every construction project where we're doing broadband or other infrastructure and say, this was sponsored by the bipartisan infrastructure law, President Joseph R. Biden. No, get that sticker picture. Put Biden pointing at it and go, I did that, because that's what he did. With everything that improves our energy efficiency, everything that creates jobs, every bridge that's replaced, he can say he did that. Some of them on the bipartisan bill of the infrastructure law, with a handful of Republican votes, none from Wisconsin, but other things, like the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act, without a single Republican vote. So put that, Joe, if you're listening, slap that sticker on as many things as you can.
And that thing, that kind of attitude works. Because I remember here in this district, the 7th Congressional District, where we had for 40 years, Dave Obey coming back all the time, sending out press releases saying, I'm going to be at the university, I'm going to be over at this area farm, I'm bringing a check, because I am bringing back the bacon, and he was proud of it. And even in a district with a lot of rural areas, and I know that the politics have changed over the years, but he was never threatened, because people appreciated that he was working for them. And sometimes it's almost as though many of the Democrats these days are afraid to say, like you said, hey, Joe, he is trying, I think, wrap his arms around it a little bit more than many others, but he is coming out saying it. He's also pointing out the hypocrisy of many of the folks within many districts around the country that voted against it, then touting the fact that, hey, look at all this, you know, this great project going on that I voted against, but they don't mention that. But I thought, you know, just going back to, you know, early days of my broadcast career when I'd be working news and I'd get this note to go and see Dave Obey for a short event where he got the big check to passing along, that is good politics. I mean, bottom line, isn't it?
It is. I would say that nowadays, the notion of any government spending as being, you know, bad has cast a pall on the giant ceremonial check. And so it's one thing to talk about the money that you're spending to do something. My proposal is to, instead of focusing on the money, is to focus on the thing that's more tangible and point out the thing that's there. And look, even broadband, you know, internet is, you know, that's intangible. You can't really touch it, but you know what? You can see those trenchers that are digging the trenches for the line. You can see the big spools of cable, and it's that kind of imagery of people using their computers faster, of automobiles getting to places faster and more safely. It's that imagery of things that actually affect my everyday life that Democrats need to do a better job of and not worry about the big check so much.
And that brings me back to the initial point about this special session. When the governor announced it, you know, obviously he had, a rather significant list of areas that he would like to use the still, you know, somewhere around, what was it, four? No, billion dollars or is it trillion? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember. It's billion or trillion. I mean, my numbers are just going. But, you know, he has quite a list of different areas that he would like to see improved and funding being provided. And then in the very same story, you see Robin Voss say, well, we want every single dollar, 3.3, going to tax cuts for everyone when we know where most of that tax cut money is going. And yet there's no... When I hear you talk about, you know, again, this, and it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true that, you know, the idea of government, for whatever reason, over the last 40, 50 years, does not have the popular, backing of many of the voters. But at the same time, I read that and it's like, why is that the popular way of going about it? I mean, you've been involved, you know, in serving, but when I see, you know, Voss, unafraid to say, I want all this money going and most of it going to the upper income. And yet that's popular. I find that frustrating in itself that, you know, a guy like Obey could bring the check and yet that's looked at as bad. And Robin Voss can, you know, talk about, you know, giving massive tax cuts to Dick Eline's types and that's somehow politically popular. I mean, it's frustrating in my mind.
I would disagree slightly in terms of the political popularity.
Well, he's not afraid to say it, I guess, is the way that
he's hoping it will eventually stick, but Republicans continue to lose statewide election after statewide election, you know, unless they really gin things up like the billionaires did for Ron Johnson. But by and large, folks are saying, you know, when I make a decision whether to bring a business or whether to expand a business, whether to move here, they don't look at the tax tables. They look at, is there a good workforce here? Is there a good school for my kids to go to? Is the water clean? All of the things that take public investment. But this is what I asked Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer last hour here on Up North News Radio, was, you know, whether Republicans are going to change their handbook anytime soon, or are they so allergic to the notion of spending money to make things better that all they can do is talk about tax cuts, even though, as I say, it's just not resonating with the average voter.
Also, in terms of what resonates with the voters, and I kind of wanted to step outside the borders here just one for a few moments about that vote in Ohio this week about their attempt to change how their state constitution is amended, that going from a simple majority vote to a 60% majority vote. And obviously they're hoping to protect an abortion ban in that state. But that's an interesting state because it has gone from what was a toss-up, a purple state, you know, go back to the Bush election against Gore and even the Bush election against John Kerry. That was the state that was hanging out there late into the night to decide who is ultimately going to be elected. It's turned into a very, very red state. It's a state that is Wisconsin without having a Democratic governor. It's become very scary over there. But yet it was slapped down and slapped down hard. What's your political take on a state like Ohio where Republicans and conservatives and anti-choice advocates were all pushing for that vote to allow them to get to the 60% threshold for another referendum that's coming up concerning abortion? What did we learn in Ohio this week?
We learned that the public will figure you out if you're cheating, if you're trying to rig an election. And that's exactly what anti-choice advocates were doing in Ohio. And to, I guess, their great surprise, but not to my surprise, there were plenty of conservatives, plenty of people right of center, plenty of people who don't want to expand abortion rights, who still said no to this because it stunk to high heaven of cheating. That says, well, we know we're going to vote. You guys want to vote on this thing in November, so we're going to schedule a special election before that and move the goalposts from a simple majority to 60%. And, you know, when this abortion rights referendum is held in November, I predict it will pass, but by far less than, you know, this week's measure was defeated for that very reason. There are plenty of people on the conservative side who, you know, will vote vote against enshrining abortion rights, but they still don't think you need to cheat to win. And I know that that comes with consequences for some people, like the Arizona Secretary of State and, you know, other members of Congress who've lost their seats, Liz Cheney and all the others. But for your everyday run-of-the-mill friend neighbor who's a little right of center, they look at that and go, that's not how I want to do this. This is not how, I'm not that cynical. And God bless those folks in Ohio, 3 million people turning out to vote on a summer Tuesday, it just makes me feel better about, you know, the American electorate and what they'll see when things are that obvious.
And I guess finally, going back here into Wisconsin, are you surprised how quickly the conservatives on the Wisconsin Supreme Court have pushed back after the inauguration of Janet Protasiewicz last week? You see the Chief Justice running to Dan O'Donnell and right-wing radio right away, claiming that, you know, this is all basically outside the norms and that they're trying to do things against the rules, go around her and go around the rest of the Supreme Court. I mean, they're making it sound like, changing a worker that was appointed by conservatives and saying, well, we're going to change that. What's your take for that? It feels like they have gone to the red button very quickly on the Supreme Court here in Wisconsin. And what does that portend, I guess, for the next number of months and even maybe the next year?
I so love the movie Casablanca. And all I could hear, you know, is Louis saying, I am shocked to discover that there's politics going on in the state capitol building. The conservative, the right-wing justices, who are Rebecca Bradley and Chief Justice Ned Ziegler, shocked to discover that even though they supported the way that Republicans took rights and responsibilities away from the governor-elect and the attorney general-elect in 2018, shocked to discover that they could have responsibilities and duties taken away when they are no longer in the majority. But I hasten to add this point. This is not some extreme move the way that Ziegler and Bradley are trying to portray it. It is a return to normalcy. It is a return to the transparency that existed before conservatives took over the court. Before conservatives took over the court and made things less transparent. And so the new progressive majority is taking things back in a direction that you and I would understand and embrace. But as long as you're a right-wing politician in justice's robes like Ziegler and Rebecca Bradley, well, you're going to run to talk radio and do all kinds of other unseemly political things rather than just carry on with your business. You know, when we had, Joe Zepecki on at 6:30 this morning, he said this thing is eventually going to become a nothing burger and just make these conservatives look rather unseemly for a time.
And finally, I guess one more final question. Sure. Do you think that the whole we've been talking about trying to get more fair districting lines, will we see that in the next year? Will we see that for 2024? Because you've been around the business, I think, a long time and have, maybe have a sense for how quickly things can be done. Do you think these lawsuits, we saw a lawsuit the day after the inauguration put through that tries to focus on the Wisconsin Constitution as opposed to the anything else. Do you think there is a chance that we could see fair lines as quickly as 2024?
I believe that there is a chance. I believe we have to see that only in this window. If we don't see it by, say, April or so, we may not see it at all because there will be other Supreme Court elections, starting in 2025 again. So I think it could be done, but there is also the very real potential hiccup, as we discussed with Dan Lenz from Law Forward yesterday, that even though this case is written in such a way as to just pertain to the state constitution, and when a case is about the state constitution, the U.S. Supreme Court tends to leave it alone. They defer to the state Supreme Court. But as we know, you have those same right-wing politicians serving as justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. So even if the MAP case gets resolved fairly quickly, and this state Supreme Court draws new and fairer lines, there is still a chance that the U.S. Supreme Court, in its arguably corrupt way, would find a way to quash it. Now, I'm not trying to dampen anybody's enthusiasm. I just want to keep things real as this case moves through the court.
Well, that's why we like having you on 6 to 8. We like talking to you here on Thursdays because you do keep it real. You're with the kids yet, aren't you? You keep it real.
That's right. I'm so hip. So hip, I'm square.
Hey, enjoy Madison. Always great to talk to you. And of course, everybody will be tuned in again tomorrow morning from 6 till 8 for Up North News. Pat, again, have yourself a great rest of your week and a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. See you later.
That is Pat Kreitlow, again, the host of Up North News Radio, 6 to 8 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also, you can catch him throughout the state and on the Civic Media app as well. So, again, really appreciate Pat Kreitlow sticking around after his show today to spend a few minutes with us. The time is almost 8:36. Coming up, we'll get an update on what's going on around the country and around the world with CBS News. We'll have Brittany Merlot back as well with a Bow Falls Radio News update and then back with more. We're going to have a preview here. We're going to talk a little bit more high school football because we're getting closer and closer. We're a week away where some teams begin their season a week from tonight, next Thursday. Many other teams, most of the teams, in fact, start their season a week from tomorrow night. So we're going to continue to look at our Marathon County high school football teams, give a little preview on what to expect. And we're going to talk about Mosinee. Coming off a terrific season in the Great Northern Conference last year. And we'll talk about what to expect with Mosinee coming up this year. That's coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We're coming up fast on another high school sports season here in Central Wisconsin. Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still covers high school sports on a play-by-play basis. I'm Chad Holmes. I've been with WXCO for over 20 years, bringing you coverage of Wausau West, Newman Catholic, and Marathon High School sports. In order to continue the coverage of the Warriors, Cardinals, and Red Raiders at the level we have over the years, we need your support. We are looking for businesses and individuals to help support our broadcast of high school sports on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Please help us continue to tell the stories of our student athletes here in Central Wisconsin. To find out the different options to support our broadcast of high school sports, please give Nathan or Luis a call at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. Again, that's Nathan or Luis at 608-977-0539 or 608-354-3452. I love the dollar. At Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app. Again, getting excited for the start of another high school football season. Of course, we are very proud to be the only WASA radio station that still provides live play-by-play coverage of high school sports. And not just one school. We cover three schools. We have the WASA West Warriors, the Marathon Red Raiders, and the Newman Catholic Cardinals. Season gets underway a week from tomorrow for both WASA West and for Marathon. And then a week after that for the Newman Cardinals on Saturday, August the 26th. So again, for Newman, Marathon, and WASA West High School Sports, your home for all the action is right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. But we also keep an eye on the other schools in our listening area. Talk about what's going on with them, especially on our big high school sports show on Wednesday nights, but also here on this program as well. And as we get through the next week or so before the opening kickoff of the 2023 season, want to give a brief preview of some of our Marathon County and area schools before the start of the season. And looking at the Great Northern Conference, the Mosinee Indians, boy, they've had some really good runs in recent years. And in 2022, Mosinee was stellar. They ran the table in the Great Northern Conference, going 7-0 in conference play to earn the championship. Mosinee won one playoff game, but unfortunately came up short in their second playoff game. And Mosinee expected to be solid again this season. It's a solid conference at the top. It's a conference that over the last number of years has had some weaknesses near the bottom. But if you look at Mosinee, they do return one of the top receivers and defensive backs, not only in central Wisconsin, but in the state of Wisconsin, Keegan Jerschele. Jerschele is a multi-sport athlete. He does it on the gridiron. He does it on the basketball court, and he's an outstanding baseball player. In fact, baseball may be his number one sport. But as a football player, he has already caught 124 balls for Mosinee in his career for nearly 2,000 yards. And he's had two straight first-team all-Great Northern Conference selections. So Keegan Jerschele will be an obvious key for Mosinee in terms of their success in the upcoming season. But also, he's got a guy that knows how to get him the football. Returning quarterback, Gavin Obremski. Obremski was one of the top passers in the state of Wisconsin last year, throwing for 2,501 yards. When you look at those numbers, and you're comparing it like to NFL, it says, 2,500 yards. But for the high school ranks, that is a big, big number. High school football, a lot more of a run game sports here in Wisconsin than a pass game. But Mosinee, over the years, has always been a very good passing program. And Obremski, again, 2,501 yards and 34 touchdown passes. An amazing total for just 11 games. That's more than three touchdown passes per game. So if anybody hopes to knock off Mosinee this year, they're going to have to try and slow down Gavin Obremski and Keegan Jerschele on the offensive side of the football. Also in the Great Northern Conference, another team from our area to keep an eye on are the Merrill Blue Jays. Merrill had a nice year a year ago. They were able to get back into the postseason playoffs for the first time in 5 years. They had not been in the playoffs since 2017, but they finished 4-3 in the GNC, and that was enough to get them into the postseason. It was an ugly, ugly game in the Level 1 playoffs. They ran into a buzzsaw at Rice Lake, falling 60-6. But the good news for Merrill is the majority of the defense, according to a Wisports.net preview of the Merrill Blue Jays, the core of the defense coming back, according to head coach Jason Wodzinski. And the defense has five starters coming back. So at least early in the season for the Merrill Blue Jays, you would expect they would have to lean a little bit on the defensive side of the football. They have just three starters returning on offense, and they are looking for a new starting quarterback as well. So again, for Merrill, trying to make it back-to-back seasons in terms of making the postseason playoffs. Great Northern Conference, Mosinee, again, preseason favorites. Each and every year, Medford is a team to keep an eye on in the GNC. Medford has been a perennial power in that conference, finishing either first or second and making fairly deep runs from time to time in the playoffs. Lakeland is a team that had a great finish a year ago. They started off 0-4, then they won their final five regular season games to earn a spot in the playoffs. Lakeland will be taking on WASA East in the season opener next week. Antigo is a program that, if you're like me, if you grew up around Central Wisconsin now, you know, graduating high school back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, if you go back to the 1980s, you remember a guy named Gordy Schofield. And it's hard to believe, but Antigo was a powerhouse in the state, powerhouse football team. Back in the day, they would face D.C. Everest and Stevens Point in just massive Wisconsin Valley Conference football matchups. And just over the years, the numbers have gone down, and there's been struggles, especially in the last couple of years, for the Antigo Red Robins. But it looks like they're ready for maybe a bit of a move up the standings. They have not been to the playoffs since 2018. Last year, they were 2-7. But they do have quite a bit back. Their numbers are better. They return a lot of starters, more starters than basically anyone in their conference. Six starters on offense, eight starters on defense, have a total of 20 letter winners back. And they got a terrific running back in Alec Knapkavage, who is the team's leading rusher last season. So again, looks like Antigo could perhaps snap their playoff drought this year as well. So again, as we get to next week and the start of the high school football season, try to preview some of our area teams. So in the Great Northern, look for Mosinee to be the team to beat in the GNC. But Antigo and Merrill have opportunities, I think, to try and work their way into the playoffs as well. Practice has been going on for more than a week for 11-player football. In fact, tomorrow is a very big day. Tomorrow, there will be scrimmages throughout the state. There'll be scrimmages all over the place. I know there's a big scrimmage over at D.C. Everest. Evergreens will be there, Wausau West, and other schools as well. A chance to see your team go up against teams with different colored jerseys. So it's going to be, I think, interesting. A first real look at what you got. Because in practice, sometimes you see what you got against each other, you know, running practice drills and such. But you really see what you got tomorrow at the scrimmages. And then, of course, next week, Thursday, there are some games around the state. D.C. Everest, I know, opens their season against Green Bay Preble next Thursday night. And then there's other teams from the Valley Football Association in action next Thursday. And most of the teams around the state, including our three teams, or I should say our two 11-player teams, Wausau West and Marathon, open their seasons next Friday night. And, of course, we'll have both Wausau West and Marathon next Friday right here on your home for high school sports, Bull Falls Radio. 98.9 and 12:30. We're going to take a timeout, come back with more. The time is 8:50. It is a beautiful start on this Thursday morning. Lots of sunshine. Looks like it's going to be a stellar day weather-wise. We'll get your weatherology forecast coming up in just a minute here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Home show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 12:30, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:54 on this beautiful Thursday morning. Quick reminder that the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge is continuing here into the month of August. There is a blood shortage throughout the country, and that does include here in Wisconsin. And Civic Media is doing all we can to change that. The Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge. We have extended the challenge into August, so what you got to do is go to our website, civicmedia.us/giveblood. That's civicmedia.us/giveblood. Then you'll be able to find a blood donation center near you. Make an appointment. And then once you go to your appointment and you're giving blood, make sure you take a photograph of yourself giving blood and then post it to your social media, whether Instagram or Facebook or Twitter X or Threads, with the hashtag CivicPints. That's hashtag CivicPints, and you'll have an opportunity to win some great prizes. We are giving away pairs of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field. We're giving away tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair down in West Allis, and we're giving away Civic Media swag packs as well. So, again, a great opportunity to win some terrific prizes, but also the big thing is do something great for our community. The Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge. Again, more information can be found at our website, civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Coming up in the second hour, we're going to find out what to expect weather-wise. I know today and looking perfect weather-wise, perfect to get out and do anything, but it does appear that tomorrow could be a wet one. And what about the weekend? We'll find out when we talk to our meteorologist, Jennifer Vucicki from Weatherology, coming up at 9:06. And then at the bottom of the hour, it's going to be fun to talk to our Civic Media Sports Director, Mike Clemens. Mike is in Cincinnati. The Green Bay Packers are off in Cincinnati. They're taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in the first preseason game tomorrow night, but they are also facing the Bengals in a couple of joint practices. And in fact, the intensity got up there yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw the stories on it, but Elgton Jenkins, the Packer offensive lineman, got into a brawl with one of the Cincinnati Bengals, and then he got into another scuffle with a second Bengal and was tossed from the practice as well. What is causing all that intensity? We're going to find out with Mike Clemens. Also talk about what Mike has seen in the early portion of Packer training camp and what he's going to be looking for tomorrow night when the Packers do take on the Bengals. So again, it is almost time for the Green Bay Packers. Three preseason games, and then after that, they will kick off the season, the regular season, against their longtime rival, the Chicago Bears, at Soldier Field. And it's going to be interesting because both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers had incredibly successful tenures against the Bears. There's going to be a little pressure, I think, from Jordan Love to try to continue that against the Bears. But one thing you got to remember as well, and I got to look back and look at Rodgers, but I actually remember the first time that Brett Favre faced the Bears as a starter back in the 1992 season. It was an interesting week because that was the week that Don Majkowski was eligible. Well, Don Majkowski was ready to come back. He had suffered an ankle injury in the third game of the season against Cincinnati, and he was out, and Brett Favre took over. And then when Majkowski came back, a decision had to be made. Do you go back to the original starter, Don Majkowski, or do you stick with the young guy who you gave up a number one draft pick for, Brett Favre? And Mike Holmgren made the choice and said, Brett Favre is going to be the guy. And the first game after that decision was made was against the Bears, and Favre struggled, the Packers struggled, and they got blown out at Lambeau Field. But after that, Brett Favre would become a Bear killer. Then after that, Aaron Rodgers would become a Bear killer. And now it's up to Jordan Love to become the next Bear killer in terms of Green Bay Packer quarterback. So we'll talk about all of that with Mike Clemens coming up at 9:30. We're going to take a timeout now for the news. CBS News at the top of the hour. Brittany Merlot back with another look at Civic Media and Bull Falls Radio News. And then back at 9:06 with Jennifer Vucicki. Another hour to go. The Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.